So some thoughts that I've had that really come out of, and I know we had several couple months ago now with Henry Sargini, the idea of the worship service. And so what is the worship service and how we call things? But certainly the idea that we're called to worship. But from the breaking of the bread time and where some thoughts of, coming together and worshiping and giving praise to God. And so this is, comes out of that thought that was shared at one of the meetings of breaking the bread. And so I'll just give you sort of the premise is that we're going to begin and end with Joel. I can see 5 minutes. So we'll begin and end with Joel. So if you can turn in your Bibles to the book of Joel, that's sort of the premise. And we had talked about Joel in the past and the different messages, so I'm just going to be taking some highlights from the book of Joel. And so what we have here is if you were to turn to the book of Joel, so Hosea, Joel, and Hosea. So we have Joel, and we'll begin at verse 2. Joel, that disaster has struck, and here's what he says. He said, "Hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. What the chewing locusts left, the swarming locusts have eaten. What the swarming locusts left, the crawling locusts have eaten. And what the crawling locusts left, the consuming locusts have eaten." And so for our reading there, we see that something has happened. And it is not good. And it's dealing with locusts. It's dealing with this consuming, the locusts have consumed everything, really. The chewing locusts, the swarming locusts, the crawling locusts, and then the consuming locusts. You just think, none of the locusts sound good. But these really descriptive sound like, well, whatever it wasn't good at all. So he's describing an event. It's hard to pinpoint exactly when the book of Joel, was written and exactly what this disaster entailed. So the idea is that something bad happened. And it was roughly around the time of, you have the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, and so the kings were getting worse, and then they get a little better, they get worse, they get a little bit better. And we've talked about that over at different times. This may have been roughly around the time of King Uzziah, and that might be roughly when this was taking place. It's not like you can pinpoint, oh yes, I remember, we wrote that down. Consuming locusts came in and got everything. So there's not a specific time that we can go back and find that, oh yeah, that's what happened. This is when that happened. Not in specific in this way, but that something did happen, and he's writing about it. And he gives takes the opportunity to warn them, to warn the people, that this has happened, and why. It's a judgment. It's coming against something that they have done, and this is what the Lord has sent. That this is, in a sense, the Lord's army. His army comes in many fashions. In this case, it came as locusts. Chewing, swarming, crawling, and consuming locusts. And they have devastated the land in such a way that it has made an impression that he writes to the people and saying, has anything like this happened in your days? And then you're to tell your children, and then let their children tell their children, and children another generation. And so the idea is that this is a judgment. I'm pointing out this is a judgment, that this is such that it stands out in their mind as something really bad has happened, and that he comes along with the idea that I want to tell you that this is a judgment, but let's look a little farther. And so he says that Joel be fitting, that Yahweh is God, and so he's pointing out that Yahweh is God, the Lord your God, he is the God. And so if we were to look through the book of Joel, you would just skim a couple things, and some things that come to mind is the day of the Lord. It's something that is repeated over and over again. And so we'll look at a couple of these for the sake of looking, just putting a little outline to the book. In verse 15 of chapter 1, "Alas for the day. For the day of the Lord is at hand, it shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Is not the food cut off before your eyes, joy and gladness from the house of our God? So the day of the Lord doesn't sound good. It sounds that it shall come as destruction from the Almighty. So this judgment that is coming to pass, this day of the Lord, is coming as destruction from the Almighty. If we look then as chapter 2, verse 11, the last portion of that, maybe we'll back up a little bit to 10. The earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? So the day of the Lord is a destruction, a day of destruction to come as destruction from the Almighty. The day of the Lord is a great and terrible, something great and very terrible in this under this judgment. And so then we would look then to we'll look at those, and then we'll see where there's a transition that comes along. So as we then go from the book of Joel as an outline, you'll see in verse 27 of chapter 2, then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. So a transition is about to happen, is that the day of the Lord doesn't sound good. It's a day of judgment, because we're talking about past events. But in verse 28, it says this, and it shall come to pass afterwards. It shall come to pass afterwards. And then let's look at the day of the Lord. In verse 31, the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood. So certainly there's some still bad event that's going to happen, a judgment that's going to happen before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. So now we've done the past. Something has their judgment that is on the people. And this great and this day of the Lord is not a good thing. And then we're making a transition. It shall come to pass afterwards that the day of the Lord, with all these things that have preceded it, will then be great and awesome. It will be great and awesome. So we have a transition. Not so good. The day of the Lord, very good. Something very good coming in the future. And then in verse 14 of chapter 3, that it talks about the idea that the decision, something's changing, something's happening different. Multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision, verse 14, chapter 3. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And so that is when we have this transition that is a great and awesome, and it's near. So something is changing in the book of Joel. He's talking about the past in verse 27 and before in chapter 2, 27 before, is the past, the judgments to their sins. And then it transitions. It shall come to pass afterwards. It's something in the future. There's still judgment going to happen, but then the day of the Lord comes as great and awesome, and it is near. So as we consider the book of Joel speaking about an event that's not really hard to pinpoint, it's just something bad happened. There was a judgment in this case that he points out, that this came from the Lord. Those locusts, they're his army, and they came from the Lord. This was Australia in 2008. That's locust. Whoa. That's not good. Totally not good. That was locust. There it is again. So locust. Do we have a signal issue? That was. We'll find it again. But in Australia in 2008, something that we think of, the idea of locust, is that, yeah, that still happens. They're not really pleasant things, assuming that they would be. Okay, we'll find out where this is. That's it. So can you find the other one? Let's see if we can find that. Oh, so I'll hold this. Or not. So in 2008, that the locust just ravaged Australia. Does anybody ever have any knowledge of, do you remember that happening? You do remember it happening. Is it like, wow, that made such an impact on your life? was a cloud. But it was like, it's, so it's interesting, you say, locust. And it's like, well, I have no memory of that. so I found it, but it was like, wow, nothing. It's interesting, these events that happen, that's pretty bad. If you're in Australia in 2008, that wouldn't be very good. But if it's the, if you were not in Australia, it's not quite as powerful of an impact. You weren't there. He was like, well, I just went about my day and I had to mow the lawn because the locusts weren't there to consume it. or Joel had to mow the lawn. And then you have the next thing. Let's see. Really. So then there would be, if we were looking at it, because we can sort of relate to it now even currently, is that Hurricane Katrina was in 2005, been that many years. And we'd say that, boy, that was a real bummer, and how awful that was, and how many people's lives were affected by that. And then we get through that, and it was pretty devastating, and the billions and billions of dollars that were spent to try to get people who build houses below sea level. Carol and I went on a trip recently. We were in Amsterdam, and apparently they've got it figured out because they're living below sea level too. That you land in the airport. We flew into Amsterdam, and you land in the airport, and you're looking at the thing, and you're saying, boy, I hope the pilot knows what's going on here, because we are now -2 meters from sea level when we're landing the plane. I think it's the lowest airport out there. So you're landing. And it makes you a little, because you're watching, you're thinking, boy, I hope he knows where this is. And actually, when we flew back, we weren't sure where the guy learned, got his license from, because he just slammed that plane into the ground. And it was really, really rough landing. But the idea that these events of you had all this water into a swimming pool, and you think, wow, I do remember that. But I wasn't there. I wasn't there. So it's like, well, you know, that was a lot of rain. And probably, I think, a dry time for us. Some memories that we actually kind of got, the rain was good to some degree, that we, as that came up the coast and you got a little rain, said, wow, that probably negated a drought for us, because by the time it dumped all the rain there, then you come up the coast and you say, wow, we actually benefited from that, but they didn't appreciate all that rain. And then just the last, 10 days, I guess, they got the same thing. I heard it described that it was the impact on Louisiana that they just had again was everything without the hurricane. Just don't put the winds in there, and they got everything, that all the rain and everything that came with it. And you say that, but we don't live there. This devastating effect that they had down in Louisiana again, and then said that, but I don't live there. So the locusts that came back in the time of Joel, and say that they're consuming, and it made an impact that he wrote and told him, this is God's judgment, this is his army. The locusts that came to Australia, these events, they said, well, I wasn't there, so, didn't affect me. The locusts in Australia, I have no memory of that. Hurricane Katrina has made a big impact, but we weren't there. The reason wasn't there. And then this was something, wow, that was really thinky. So this was something that, okay, so just picture with me quickly until this goes away again. Is that this was a place that Carol and I, on our trip, we visited Cologne. Okay, that was a picture of Cologne, Germany. And Cologne, Germany is no idea what is going on there. I'm going to hold that. So Cologne, Germany, back in 1945, that's what it looked like after the Allied bombing. It was a, it was a shambles. I mean, it was in pretty bad shape. Oh, it's even worse now when you can't see it, but it's in pretty bad shape. And so they described, as you're looking, is that it's about 80-90% destroyed. 80-90% destroyed. And so, again, I wasn't born at that time, but you'd say that, wow, that was pretty devastating. That is unbelievable how you look at this city that was obviously of some decent amount of size, and it's just been pretty well leveled, and all these bombed out buildings and et cetera, et cetera. That would go along with having the Allies bomb. The bridge is gone out, and they took out the bridges with the bombs, and the cathedral, oddly enough, if we see, look at that, they said was not bombed. Was not bombed. And they said, though, they did it on purpose. The Allies, the guys in the bombers, didn't try to bomb that. And it was, they were so inaccurate that they just somehow missed it. They were not trying to hit it. They just happened to not hit it. There was no way they could try to avoid it because they were so inaccurate. It just was, no, they just didn't hit it. And it was just, they felt a miracle of sort that the cathedral, and it's a pretty significant size cathedral there, didn't get hit. And so we say that, that's a lot of devastation that didn't impact us personally. But, certainly the judgment that was pointed out by Joel, not to say that these other events were from a judgment standpoint, but these events that happened that were very devastating, very impactful for many people's lives. And so as we then consider that, we see here just another picture before it probably goes away, that you just see a little bit closer. That doesn't look very inhabitable. I mean, these places were taken out. I mean, they were just devastated. At one point, again, here you have all where the boat could come up, and it's just all gone. It's all gone after all the bombings. And so the question that Joel asks is that, has anything like this happened in your day? Has anything like this happened in your day? Now, if we were to take it personally, and to say that there are times in our lives that there are things that happen that would impact us personally, that we wouldn't necessarily feel like, well, I haven't had any locusts going through our yard yet, haven't had any, like Australia, haven't had a hurricane that has come through, haven't had bombings or anything of that nature that have come through. But there are certainly times in our life that would say that, wow, this has been a very tough day. This has been a tough season of life. And there are things that have happened in our lives that we could go back and say, wow, that wasn't a good year. And patients that have come in and can certainly relate to them that they'll say, this has not been a good year. Can't wait for next year. They've had some medical things or different things of that nature, lost someone. And you can relate to that in a level that says, yeah, just somebody last week goes, yep, I can. She said, I'm looking forward to this year being over with. And you think, yeah, that makes sense. That is a personal impact on our lives. To say, has anything like this happened in your day, that when we look at it from a personal standpoint, that there are times in our lives that things happen that you just think, man, that was a lot to bear, and you get through it, and you work through it. And so then the question is that, how do you get through that? As Joel points out, the day of the Lord. He points out from judgment that there's the day of the Lord, that he sent his army of locusts, that how God's army come can be very surprising. How he passes along judgment can be very surprising. And then there's a change. But the day of the Lord comes, and it's great and awesome, and it's near. And then we can then look forward to it. But what happened? What was the difference that you go from, ooh, I don't want to be near the day of the Lord, because his armies, his judgments, and things that come against us can be very devastating, to where then we look forward to the day of judgment that is coming? Because there was still a day of judgment, and it was a price that was paid. That something was done so that then, instead of not looking forward to the day of the Lord, we can look forward to the day of the Lord. Has anything like this happened? And then we look to what Cologne looks like present day, probably for the next 5 seconds here before it goes out, but what Cologne looks present day. There is a rebuilding that has occurred, and that the bridge is back. The cathedral is being cleaned up. They're constantly renovating that thing. Apparently, it's taking forever and ever and ever. As soon as they finish one part, they got to go back and fix the other. And that thing is huge. And see, all this building, that doesn't look like those other photos. There's been something changed. And to see this to come upon a city to think, well, this is what it used to be. And it's very nice and very walkable city. And it's Germany's fourth largest city now. And you think, wow, it looked like they were going to be very vibrant back there in 1945. And here, we lost again. And here we are saying that, wow, it looks pretty good. In front of the cathedral, they've even down below that there's a, for Lord's sake, that there's a, where they have the orchestra. They have the orchestra down there. It's opera. Is the opera? orchestra. So they have an orchestra. They have a, you know, their little symphonies and all that good stuff there. And on top is a skateboard. And so it doesn't really help the acoustics down below. So down below, I mean, they've rebuilt this thing. The train station's in there. They've got all the shops, and everybody's having, you know, lots and lots and lots of people to come to visit there. And you say that, wow, that doesn't look like it did way just not that long ago. And then suddenly you look at it and say, it's the fourth largest city in Germany. And it's rebuilt. There's been a rebuilding. There's been a renewal of that city. And we see that, just to put it in perspective, that cathedral, because it was so immense. But this thing right there, and to see the people compared to that, that they're kind of still small. And that is on, if we did tilt this a little bit, that's on the top, that's just the top part of that cathedral. It's just a little finial on top of those steeples. So just to give you perspective, that is one big honking building. And they couldn't hit it. They couldn't hit that building for some strange reason. But it's amazing. They've rebuilt the city to a point that you just wouldn't imagine how much destruction that had taken place. And then a renewal has taken place. So as we then look to the book of Acts, that something new has taken place in the day of the Lord. Acts chapter 2, we'll read this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, that's the 50 days after the Passover, so Pentecost 50, that had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them the divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterances. And then going down to verse 14. So people thought, uh-oh, what just happened here? And Peter explains. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams, and on my manservants and on my maidservants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. So now the Holy Spirit has been given. And so we see that it is working within men. There's a change. The great day of the Lord is still talking about a judgment. There's still judgment to happen, but then instead of not looking forward to it, we can look forward to it, according to the book of Joel, that we're looking forward to this great and awesome day, that he describes that there's now a day of Pentecost had fully come, and that the Holy Spirit is then given to dwell within men. And we see that Peter, that he stands up and with a raised voice to say to them, these words that come from the book of Joel that said, It shall come to pass at the last day, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And so we see that there's then a change, that as they are now filled with the Holy Spirit, that God had promised them, that Christ had promised them, that they now then show that these, that he will show in verse 19, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on earth beneath. And so we see that there's something that's changing. What had happened in the past, with all these things that may be difficult, the judgments that Joel spoke about with the locusts, these difficult times in the past that have occurred in other countries, in our countries, and then we just spoke of, and certainly in your own personal life, that you would say that there's something that can happen that says, wow, that was not so good. That day, that year, that season was very difficult, was very challenging. And so we find that there's then this change that's occurring. It's coming within the Holy Spirit that comes upon and is able to dwell within men, that was promised from Christ. And on our way to look to our final section there of Romans chapter 10. We're going to look at Romans chapter 5. I'll read one verse on your way to chapter 10. It says this in verse 5. It says, chapter 5, verse 8, "But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And then we'll go to chapter 10 and read verse 4. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everybody who believes. For Moses writes about it, writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scriptures say, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him." And then it concludes with this from what we talked about in Joel, and then we saw in Acts, and I missed that verse there intentionally to say this, for it says, concluding here in Romans 10:13, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so we see that there's now a time that we can look forward to the day of the Lord, because it doesn't come with a judgment that of the consuming locust, the army of the Lord. It comes that their judgment has been, the price has been paid in judgment. And so as we consider the Lord's Supper, as we look, consider the time of worship, as we consider who do we come to worship and remember, it is Christ. As it talks about that, that there was a quote here that in verse chapter 10 says it begins with the section we read, "For Christ." And there was a quote I came across that it stuck with me. So it says, apart from the resurrection, so of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, Christianity would be little more than a well-intentioned ethical system. As we look at different religions, as we look at the different things in the world that people believe in for different reasons, is that it really, what's the difference in from Christianity to, oh, well, we intend good works and we intend this, and even very fractions of so-called Christianity, but it's about the resurrection. If you don't believe in the resurrection of Christ, then what, you know, what is there, you know, from Christianity standpoint, is that they're all kind of all the same. A good intention this and a good intention that, but it comes down to the resurrection of Christ, that a price has been paid, that instead of fearing the day of the Lord, we can look forward to the great and awesome day of the Lord, because Christ has been raised from the dead and is now at God's right hand. And so in just thinking of this, was brought to mind that during the time of worship, and different brothers had shared this, and it's just something that has been on my heart, is that it comes down to that our focus is on Christ as we come together, and for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And so as we look and consider the challenges that happen in life that can be very difficult to get through, as we look at those times that others have suffered, and we can see, you know, that there are certainly things in the world that we wouldn't be a passing thought. You know, be like, oh yeah, that's a shame for them. But, you know, forest fires in California and different things that don't affect us so dearly and nearly, but that if we say that there are things that do affect us nearly and dearly, and we can see that there are tough times in our life, and it's tough for them wherever they would be. And it comes down to, as we then consider in our spiritual walk, that for Christ would make the difference. For Christ is whom we come and we worship, and that without him, what would it mean? There'd be no one to have paid the price, and we would be responsible for the judgment that is to come in the day of the Lord. As Joel points out, the day came with the army of locusts, but there's another day of the Lord that's coming. And that now we don't have to fear that day of the Lord, because that judgment that would be deserving for us, that that penalty has been paid and has come through Christ. So there's just some thoughts that I just want to share, and I hope that will be something you can consider as well. We'll just close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for our time that we've been able to gather together. That, Father, that we've come together to share these certainly prayer requests, to sing these hymns, and that, Father, that we've come because of our... Father, now that we then look forward to